Good morning. Great job this morning, praise team. You know, I'd be curious if I asked this morning, could anybody testify to God's faithfulness this morning, here this morning? Would anybody have something good to share today about God, how God has been faithful to you in your life? Amen. How many people in here keep a prayer journal? Anybody? As a testimony to God's faithfulness when you pray and answer prayers. A long time ago, there was a time in my life where things weren't going so well. And I prayed, and the Lord worked some things out. But I prayed specifically, I wanted three things in my life. I wanted my older children to be back in part of my life and to see them, being in church. So I'm still working on that second part. I prayed the Lord to bless me with a Harley again. I prayed the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. God's answered all three of those before Jesus comes back. All I'm saying is if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today would be the day. Amen, because God can come at any time because He's answered all three of those prayers, and that was my prayer. Lord, before I die, or before You come, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16, before Pastor Wayne says anything. That's where we'll be this morning. We're going to conclude our series this morning. I'm glad to see you guys this morning. I'm not a big fan of daylight savings time transition. I do not like springing forward. I feel like a mouse in a trap that's been sprung. Amen. Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel this morning, so bear with me. My brain's a little scattered this morning, but we're going to conclude our series this morning on authority. We began the series looking at authority in Scripture, and that's the foundation for the Christian life. If you're here this morning and you've never really looked at the Word of God and given it weight and credence in your life for how you think and how you live, decisions you make and the things you do and the people that you do life with, I would encourage you this morning to reconsider that. Last week, Pastor Wayne talked about authority in the home. He remarked how God always speaks to the woman first. I find generally that, and I believe it's because God likes to start with the smartest person before He gets to the rest of us. Amen? I know in my house, Shelby's usually the brains of the operation. Yeah, so I'm just the show-up-and-do-things guy. Today we're going to look at the authority of the church. This is important and really ties to the other two. Now, this morning, as we begin this, first I want to say, because sometimes when we look at these passages and we talk about authority, people kind of get an idea about that. So first I want to say this morning, and I want to talk about what the church is not. Before we talk about authority, I think it's important we understand what the church is not. And I think this is where sometimes people get confused. First, the church is not a business. This is not a business. Okay? Now, there are financial things that occur here, and business is conducted by the church. You know, we have bills to pay. We have lights. Thankfully, somebody... Miss Leslie remembered to cut a check, and somebody remembered to sign it, and somebody remembered to put it in the mail. Thankfully, that happened. We remembered to order propane. Otherwise, it might be a little chilly in here this morning. And so there is business that goes on with the church, and we have to manage finances. Certainly, those things occur. The church, shockingly enough to some of you this morning, you might not have realized, it's not a social club. You know, it's not a place where we just come and kind of hang out to meet friends and to socialize and to have an activity to do through the week. All those social activities occur here in the church and should occur. Tonight there'll be a social activity with our home group starting up. And I would encourage you to come and socialize. You know, iron sharpens iron. And that's an important thing for us as Christians, is to surround ourselves with other Christians. When I lived in the world and walked in the world and walked according to the ways of the world, I surrounded myself with people like-minded. And we got pretty good at what we did because we thought alike. And it's kind of interesting, the Christian life is much the same. If you'll surround yourself with Christians, you might find that you might actually get kind of decent at this, because iron sharpens iron. This, and forgive me, but I must point out also, and some people kind of do this, but I don't think it happens here, but the church is not a daycare either. Although we do minister to children, but it's not a place for you to come and drop off your kids so you can go have some fun and do this and do that. Although we do minister to children, and it's an important part of ministry, as Pastor Wayne talked about last night with parents, or last night. So I said I didn't get it. Yeah. last week with raising our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And it's an important part, and it takes a village to raise children. Finally, this morning, although we do this, and I do this both here and in my normal job, my profession, the church is not just a counseling center. It's not, and sometimes people can do that with the church. They come in and they have problems. They're just looking for somebody to kind of help them through the problem. And then it's like, okay, see you later, bye. The church does counseling, although Pastor Wayne could do counseling. I can do counseling, Pastor David, and we do counseling with people. And certainly it's an important part of what we do, both to couples and families and individuals, to minister to people. But this is not just a counseling center. It's just simply part of what the church does. You see, this morning, first and foremost, the church is a spiritual organization that conducts business, provides a social network, ministers and cares for children, and provides counsel to those in need. See, first and foremost, this is a spiritual organization. I was telling the kids this morning, I am a spiritual being having a fleshly experience. What you see here this morning is not who I truly am. It's simply the form that God has given me for who I truly am to house while in this temporary experience called life. This is the temporal. It is not the eternal. And as a spiritual being, it's important that I look beyond what I see with my eyes, what I experience with my senses, and see into the realm of the Spirit and understand that I have an eternal spirit. Each person in here has an eternal spirit. And we should be thinking eternally, spiritually. Because as my spirit goes, so goes my fleshly experience. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the flow the issues of life. That heart we talk about, guard your spirit. Guard who you are with all diligence. Jesus would say, out of the abundance of the heart, what's in your spirit, what you're putting in, the mouth will speak. And the power of life and death lies in your tongue. You're speaking life into your life. You're speaking life into the lives of your children. You're speaking life into the lives of those you work with. Or you're speaking death. It's a kind of either-or proposition. They're mutually exclusive. It's kind of like truth and untruth. Not everything can be true. That's mutually exclusive. Even that is a truth statement. And it's either true or it's false. Not everything can be true. And so as spiritual beings, God has called us into the organization that's called the church. And the church, first and foremost, operates under the authority of our King. Anybody know who our King is? Jesus. We operate under His authority. We operate under the authority of His Word. And that's the foundation for everything when we talk about authority. Everything that happens within the church. Everything that happens within the home. All that should govern what we do in our places of business and how we conduct ourselves in the community. How we as a people govern ourselves. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. I would say to you that in many places in our nation, we're falling further and further into reproach. Because we've turned our back from righteousness and we've abandoned the authority of the spiritual organization of the church. So this morning, I want to take a brief journey through the New Testament, looking at two areas of Scripture. First in Matthew 16, and then we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. To examine what our authority that God has given us. Sola Scriptura would be the Latin sufficiency. The Scripture and Scripture alone is the governing principle. I will speak for Pastor David. He's not here this morning. Please pray for him. He's not feeling well. Pastor Wayne and myself, this is our authority as we oversee this organization, this local church, this body of Christ, as He's called us to do. We're going to see what it has to say about authority of the church in the life of a believer. This is where a lot of problems occur in the church and a lot of problems that I've seen in this church and in every church I've ever been. It's when people aren't submitted to the authority of Scripture, which empowers the church to have authority. Now, and we'll get to that. Some people may be going off the rails here. Not for us to lord over you. That's never a pastor's job. But to guide and to shepherd as we go down this journey of life together. So Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 15 through 18. Jesus here in this passage of Scripture is speaking to the apostles. And He asks a pointed question. This is right after Peter's confession of Jesus being the Christ, right before Jesus' rebuke of Peter being an agent of Satan. I always kind of find that interesting that was sandwiched in there together. And Jesus begins to say this in verse 15, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now, this isn't part of the sermon this morning, but I've preached that sermon before, and it's important that each person here answer that question correctly, because each of us here will answer that question before the Lord. Whom do you say that I am? It doesn't matter what I say Jesus is. It only matters what you say He is. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So first, as we look at the spiritual organization of the church, the first and most important thing, I think, is if you examine, am I a member of that organization? Are you truly a member of that organization? Your profession of faith in Christ, as Peter's profession, makes you truly a citizen of the kingdom of God, the universal church, the ecclesia, those who are called out. We are members of the church of God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Have you considered that not everyone who attends church is actually a citizen of the church? Just coming in here and sitting in a chair or pew does not make you a member of the organization, of the spiritual organization, of the called out church of God. Like Peter, is only by profession, your profession of faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you become a member of His church and a citizen of His kingdom. And as a citizen of His kingdom, you are subject to His rule. As shared this morning with the teens, Jesus doesn't just want to be Savior. Jesus wants to be Lord and Savior. And you cannot have Jesus as just Savior. You may think that you have Jesus as just Savior, and if you're young and immature in your faith, you have that. But He desires a deeper walk. He desires the people who respond to His Word. Not just His Word in Scripture, but His call on your life. God has a plan for each of us in here. Each of us individually, uniquely, has a plan for us. And I think many here, as I look around, are answering that call. Serving in the places where God has called you to serve. Doing the things that God has called you to do in this season. But interestingly enough, particularly for those of us who are still younger and have more ministry ahead of us, God could one day call you out of here and call you to serve somewhere else. I pray that you listen to His voice and only move when He says move and when He says stay, stay. Too many people, they hop around in churches and they never really truly are listening to the voice of the Lord and hearing Him saying, come here, stay here, do this, do that. As a kingdom citizen, you're subject to the church or to the church's spiritual authority. In Matthew 16 and verse 19, Jesus would go on to say, and I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's authority there that's transferred to Peter, who is the kind of the leader of the apostles, that then has been transferred down through the ages to all leaders in churches, those godly men who serve, called of the Lord to administer rule of His subjects on earth until He returns through the local church. This is how Jesus has chosen to do it. And I'm not here to argue with God this morning. God has chosen to rule His kingdom. See, if you're here this morning and you say, I'm a born-again believer, your citizenship is in heaven. This is the place where we get to practice citizenship. It may come as a shock, but heaven's not a democracy. There's not going to be an election. 4 years, or 40 years, or 400 years, or 4,000 years, or 4 million years. There was once somebody who tried to hold an election. His name was Satan. Perhaps you might have read how that worked out. It didn't work out so well. And so it's important here that we recognize that beginning with the apostles and Peter, down through the age today, Jesus Himself has chosen, this is His chosen way to rule in this life, in this place, in this spiritual place, in His kingdom. It is Jesus Himself who appoints leaders in the church. And see, that's an important thing. I know I've had conversations with people whenever there were issues in the church and they were in disagreement with this or that. And I'd always try to talk with them and say, look, you know, we don't always get along, but, you know, the pastor is the leader of the church. And I understand what that means, and I will not usurp the authority of the pastor. I may not agree with it, and we may have some closed-door conversations about it, but when we walk out, you'll never know. Because there has to be one voice, one leader as to where this church is going. Ephesians 4, you can turn there, chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And that's how Jesus has appointed and chosen to lead His church. He appoints men to lead the church. Pastor David did not choose his calling to pastor this or any other church. He didn't choose that. We don't go out and choose. I didn't choose to be called into the ministry. After I got saved, I began to hunger for the Word of God, and I began to read it, and then I began to feel a fire inside me. I believe it's Jeremiah talked about this, Jeremiah or Ezekiel, that when I shut my mouth, I can feel it burn. I feel it burn within inside me to want to speak the Word of God, to want to teach the Word of God. I feel this burning desire. Pastor David, I know, feels it the same. Pastor Wayne, we didn't choose this. There are sometimes, I'll be honest with you, in church, it's really tough in leadership that I'm thinking, Lord, I'd love to do anything else other than this. Problem is when I try, guess what burns inside me? That desire, that passion, that calling burns inside me to teach and to lead and to do those things that the Lord has called me to do. Pastor David has only chosen to be faithful to the voice that called him. Pastor Wayne has only chosen to be faithful to the voice that's called him. As we've come alongside Pastor David, he and I, to help lead this local body of Christ. That's all we choose to do. I don't choose to come up here because I want to be popular. Because oftentimes when you stand in the pulpit, if you truly preach the whole counsel of God, you may be the least popular person in the church that day. Particularly on some subjects. You may find criticism. I don't know if you ever go online, and I do this from time to time, and see the harsh criticism that a lot of good, faithful men of God who have large ministries that are on the radio and on TV, the criticism they face. It's scathing. And the pressure from the world to say, stop preaching the whole counsel of God. Conform to us. We don't want to conform to you, as they're in rebellion to God. Jesus is the one who's chosen all those and appointed all those this morning who stand before congregations and around this world, around this entire world, no matter where it's at, to teach and preach His Word. It's Jesus that is called. It's Jesus who is chosen. And it's Jesus who is appointed. Now, I would encourage you as you participate in a membership in any church, always consider that when you deal with the pastor. Because it's not the pastor. If you choose to rebel and be problematic towards, that you're rebelling against. It's Jesus. Now, I would submit to you, particularly with Pastor David, that I know he's a man of prayer. And he's thoughtful. And he seeks the will of the Lord for this church. And his heart is to see people ministered to and see people matured in the faith and to see this church grow and this ministry thrive. That even if we don't agree with maybe something he's thinking or something he's tried to consider, and I will say that he comes and he leans heavily on Pastor Wayne and I. I mean, he does seek counsel, and the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Pastor David is a godly man and understands that. But ultimately, someone has to make a decision. And while you may not agree with it, that may be the very vision that the Lord has given. And not to agree with that and then to rebel against that and cause problems in a church is to rebel against the Lord Himself and against His vision and His call. And then you might find yourself as Peter found himself just a few verses later whenever Jesus began to share His sufferings as He must go up in Jerusalem. This is Matthew chapter 16. And He began to rebuke Jesus, and Jesus turned to Him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It was pretty straightforward. I can imagine the look on Peter's face. I'm not the devil. Or at least I'm not the devil you think I am. Satan, he recognized the spirit behind him. And then he would go on to say, "Thou art an offense unto me." It's not the Jesus most people know, I think. But what is the purpose of all of this? And I think that's really, really as I go to this. And this is, as I go through the sermon, and I really thought about this and as I prepared, and Pastor David was supposed to preach today, not feeling well, but it's something I give a lot of thought to. What's the purpose of the authority in the church? It's not just to wield and be able to tell boss people. Jesus said he would be the greatest among you must become the servant of all. And to truly be a great pastor and a great leader means I have to serve each of you. However that turns out, however the Lord desires that to be. And it's not always convenient for myself or my wife. Ministry is a lot of work to serve others and to meet their needs. Pastor David, I know, pours himself out and has since I've known him to meet the needs of others. So the purpose of the authority in church, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, if you're still there, beginning in verse 12 and through 13. In verse 12 it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, God has a purpose for you and I here today. And that purpose simply is this. First, that we be perfected through the teaching and preaching of His Word. See, it's not me that's the authority. It's I stand up here and I teach and I preach the authority. I pray as I teach and I preach, and I was prayed before I come up here, and I know Pastor Wayne, he kind of paces in the back, and I know Pastor David does, before I come up here, that the words I speak today aren't mine. That God would anoint me with His Holy Spirit and that He would speak through me. And it would not be my words, but it would be His. Because His Word accomplishes His will and purpose and does not return void. My words are just words. Just like anybody else's. And prayerfully understanding and studying the Scriptures, we stand here to teach and preach the Word of God that you might be perfected. Not perfected in your behavior. Now, we've got to be careful there. Although, as we sit under the anointed teaching of the Word of God, it should transform us. It should begin to change our minds, and we should become more Christ-like. I have not sinned less, but I sin a whole lot less than I used to. Some of y'all may not get that. And the rest of y'all, some of y'all will be saying, "Amen, praise the Lord." Yeah. And the way that we do that is as we sit under the anointed Word of God is that we become skilled in the Word of God. That's the purpose of the spiritual organization. And the authority of teaching of the Word of God. And as the Word goes forth, it should begin to change. That we understand who the one true God is and who we are. You know, I truly understand how sinful I am. I have no illusion about that. No illusion that though I sin less today, I'm still a sinner today. And I have no illusion that God grades on a scale and just one little sin's okay. I often talk with my brothers, and it's an interesting theological discussion for those who believe you can lose your salvation. And I'm always like, "Well, how much sin do I get? I just want to know what I'm working with tonight. Just thinking about maybe going out. You know what I'm saying? How far can I go and still be safe? How can you tell?" Now, if the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't as complete as it was, none of us would make it. And I thank God for that every day. The second thing is that there be unity in the faith within the church, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, not that we agree on everything contained in Scripture. There are some things in Scripture that there are differing opinions and interpretations on. But there are some things that are deal breakers. If you do not believe Jesus was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, that He willingly gave Himself to a sinner's death, that God poured out the sin of all mankind on Him, that sacrifice is complete and has made us totally righteous and holy before God in Him, we might have some disagreements that we might not overcome. And I might need to find a new place of worship if you were the pastor. Because those things are important to me. See, it's not that we come to the unity about everything that the Bible says, but that we come to the unity of our faith and understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. That's the gospel. The good news this morning that we need to share with the world. You know, if you put two people in a room together for any length of time, how do you think that works out when it comes to agreement and unity? Yeah, some of you guys are looking at your husband and your wife right now, aren't you? Yeah. You know, it's that we become unified in our faith and belief in Jesus. We also become unified that the Scriptures are authority and governs every aspect of our lives. See, the thing with Scripture is it's really pretty plain, most of it, when it comes to instructing us for how we're to behave. You know, it's pretty plain in the Bible. It says, "Forgive and you shall be forgiven, for if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." How many people here this morning have somebody you haven't forgiven? It's okay, you don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to tell on yourself. But if you're here this morning and you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, I would say the Word of God is very plain. And see, that's where the authority comes in, is that as the Word of God is given and counseled by those anointed and called by God to minister to people, that when that Word comes, there's your confirmation. You can read it for yourself, but now's your confirmation. We come to the unity of the authority of Scripture. That marriage and the home are God's priority, as Pastor Wayne talked about last week. Yeah, that's God's priority, not my job, although I like my job. It pays my bills. I think my wife likes that. She may like me too. I'm hopeful. That the church and those Jesus has appointed to lead it have spiritual authority in our lives. You know, when I go to Pastor David, I've got an issue going on and I'm talking with him about it, and he begins to share with me what the Word of God says about that in my life, what do you think I'm to do with that? Ignore it? God has appointed him over me. And if God has appointed him over me and he's saying, "Hey, this is what you need to do," what do you think I should do? I should probably listen. Because he represents whom? Jesus. And that's how Jesus has chosen to do it in this age. As I said, the truth is 90% of Scripture is pretty plain. It's in the organization and teaching of Scripture that most go wrong. That's what I found when it comes to the Scripture, where most go wrong, people that God hasn't truly called into the ministry, they oftentimes mishandle the Word of God. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the Word of truth. God calls pastors and He gives us a special ability. I didn't ask for this gift. To read and understand the Word of God and to apply it properly. But He also calls us to study diligently the Word of God and the doctrines of the church as revealed by the Holy Spirit. And they serve a real purpose in the edification of the church. See, that's why you're here. That's why the church has spiritual authority to edify you, to lift you up, to build you up, so that then you can edify your home and build up your home, so that you can edify the place where you work, and that you can edify the people you live around and build them up, and be an example, be a light to them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not bring reproach through our actions and our behaviors and our statements. I struggle, and I had a pointed conversation with a guy yesterday. I was getting my hair cut, and he really offended me, and I just went straight into him. And I kind of felt bad afterwards. But the topic of abortion came up. And he began to talk about rapes and all this and that. And so I just had to give him what the data says about that. And how that's a poor excuse. And that life is sacred. And the sanctity of life. And that we should protect the unborn. Because they're a gift from God. And I think it showed, because I was pretty offended by that. Now, with that being said, you know, regardless of what's happened in your life, God, there's forgiveness for everybody. Just like in my life, there was forgiveness. But when I came into the kingdom of God, God asked me to change my mind to match His mind, not His mind to match mine. James 3:1, it says this, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." See, it's not a light thing for what we do here. It's not a light thing for what Pastor David does to lead this church. It's not a light thing for what Pastor Wayne does to be part of that. It's not a light thing for what I do. Because we have a judgment you do not have. we will have a stricter judgment for how we handled and how we taught the Word of God and how we ministered to others and how we exercised the authority that He's given us in this place. And that's a fearful thing. And it's not something I just walk up on this platform or walk through the door and say, oh, you know, hey, man, it's great, man. Everybody, just do what I say. To steal a line from Cartman in South Park, some of y'all know that. You must respect my authority. It's a serious thing to come in here. But I would also submit to you, it's a serious thing this morning if you choose to defy the authority of the church, particularly when it comes to the spiritual matters. And see, today people come into the church with an attitude of a consumer. We're looking for the amenities. Is the music to my liking? Poor Savannah has probably the hardest job in the church. I thank God He didn't call me to be a worship pastor. Thank you, Jesus. She's wonderfully talented, but it's hard to make everybody happy. Some of us, we want the heavier stuff, man. I mean, come on, let's smash on them drums, man. Let's turn that bass up. Yeah. I saw you post Bread for War. Some of us, we like them old gospel hymns, and I like them old gospel hymns. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. That's where I come up as a kid, and I love Rock of Ages. And He walks with me, and He talks with me in the garden. Love them old spirituals. Some of us, we like more contemporary stuff. You know, we want a little bit of Steve Curtis Chapman, or maybe Chris Tomlin or something like that. See, everybody's got these wide tastes. Some of us, we need some Gaithers. Any Gaithers fans in here? Amen. Yeah, there's some back there. Yeah, it's a hard thing to be a worship pastor. And you know what? When we don't get that, we'll leave. Some come in every week and they want a preacher who makes them feel good. You know how Jesus learned obedience? The Bible says He learned through His suffering. Even to the point of death at the cross. That's how He learned obedience. See, God wants to teach you obedience, but He's not going to do it in the most convenient of ways. He's not going to do it in the most comfortable of ways. And oftentimes when people are going through battles in their life and storms in their life, they forget that God is faithful. And that God wants you to learn something through that. And most importantly, the thing He wants you to learn is His faithfulness. I've been in seasons. I've been in seasons that weren't really comfortable. I was in a season a few years ago, like Pastor David, with my health, and it was so bad, I went to a medication training up in Kansas City, and I would go into the training, and then I'd go out, and I would sleep in the van, because I just couldn't stay awake, because I was just doing so bad, and I was kind of at the point of death. Thankfully, Shelby went with me the last time to the doctor. I might not be here. I think she was getting a little worried I was lying to the doctor. I'm not sick. And I went to my sister's house, and I was like, well, the Lord needs to do something. He needs to take me home or heal me. My sister thought I was talking about I was going to kill myself or something. She started freaking out. She was worried I was going to commit suicide. It wasn't what I was saying at all. However, I understood that the Lord was in control of my trial and that I needed to submit myself to Him. People come into a church and they get offended when the preacher stands up to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. We don't like it. We don't want to hear it. And when we get offended, we'll leave. Because we want the church to conform to our lives, oftentimes not our lives to conform to the church. I felt for Pastor Wayne, because it's always one of those sermons you almost want to go in apologetically nowadays. So, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. But what the Bible really means is, so you don't get offended, is that it just says submit to your husband. It's pretty straightforward. Now, that also, and it's important that husbands understand that we're to serve our wives as Christ loved the church. So that means I'm supposed to die to what I want. It's kind of interesting. It's this mutually submissive relationship. Jesus, do you think He really wanted to go to the cross? Anybody read the Garden of Gethsemane part in the Bible? Sweating great drops of blood, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to do that, but He did. And so when the pastor preaches things that are contrary to their lifestyle or contrary to what they want, they'll leave. Never truly being perfected, edified, or unified with the Lord or His church throughout the ages. See, that's the purpose of the authority of the church, is to edify, to perfect, and to unite through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And that's the authority of the church. And the Word of God honestly covers everything in your life. Finances, it's in here. Marriage, it's in here. how to go about your business at work as the business owner or the employee. It's in here. How to raise your children. It's in here. How to submit to the government. It's in here. I wish there was something in here about how to drive and not text. It's not in here, but don't do that. I ride motorcycles. Look twice. Save a life. Put your phone down. Arrive alive. But those, and I want to say this, and I want to close with a couple of thoughts here. Those who come into the church and refuse to submit to the authority of the church, I would challenge you today to examine your citizenship. Where is your citizenship? Because if you're still resistant to the teaching of the Word of God and what God is asking and His counsel, and you're still in rebellion to God, Jesus Himself would say this about tares amongst the wheat in Matthew chapter 13, and you can turn there if you'd like, and I'd encourage you to read it. These are Jesus' words, not mine. Where He identified those who come into the church but never truly are part of the church, that continue to be resistant to His rule as Lord. He also shared what their fate would be in the day of judgment. In verse 30 in chapter 13 of Matthew, He says, "Let them both grow together until the harvest," speaking of tares and wheat. "And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." There's only two destinations, and you don't get to choose both. It's an either-or proposition. Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is not. It can't be both. It can't be Lord of some part of my life and not others. He has to be Lord of all, or He's Lord of nothing. Jesus chooses at this time through His church, through godly men, God-fearing men, who give their lives to the study and devotion of Scripture, to rightly handle it under His calling and His anointing to teach and preach those things in the Spirit, the spiritual matters that will impact every area of your life, because the Bible has counsel for everything, that should change your life and bring about the blessing that the Bible talks about for those who walk in obedience to Him. So this morning as I close, I want to pose three questions quickly this morning. Number one, if this is your church this morning, are you submitted to the authority Jesus has placed in this church? Are you truly submitted? Are you doing the things as we teach about evangelism? Are you saying, "Oh, all right, Lord, show me who to share. Who do I witness to?" Do you hear the Word of God and it talks about how to govern your home? Do you go home and pray about that and follow up and read those Scriptures? Ask questions for clarity. Come to the pastors. What does this mean? How do I apply this in my life? Or do you hear that and go out and do just the opposite? If you hear that and go out and do just the opposite, are you truly submitted to the authority, the true authority of the church? Not just to tell people where to go and when to be, but the authority of the Word as it is taught by the leaders God has appointed in this church. Are you truly a member of the church, or are you just here this morning? It's a serious question. Second question this morning. Are you willing to apply the teachings of those the Lord has placed in authority in your life as they are expounded and preached from the Word of God? Are you willing to do that? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Because as you said here in this church, in this part of the kingdom, this is our part of God's kingdom. This is the part He's given us. Yes, it's in the physical world. Yes, it's a physical building. But this is our spiritual kingdom. Jesus is here this morning. Are you willing to take the things that you learn and through the prayerful guidance of the Holy Spirit? You know, because I had to pray and ask the Lord to give me strength to do things He was asking me to do. And I think everybody here can testify to that. The life that I live by faith in Christ. And He lives in me. It's not I, but Christ in me that lives this life. Are you willing to apply the teachings? And finally, do you understand that being under the authority of the leadership of Jesus, of the leadership Jesus has ordained in this church, may mean at times things may not happen the way you think they should? Are you willing to accept that? You know, sometimes there are business decisions that need to be made. This is an organization. But if you recognize that Pastor David is a godly man, Pastor David is a prayerful man who searches the Scripture and teaches the Word of God faithfully, and God has raised him up to lead this church, that means he's also in charge of the business part of it, because that has to happen as well. And are we willing to at times, even if we don't understand, even if we don't agree, submit ourselves to that, trusting in those things? Now, if you see those things not happening in your leadership, if the Word of God, the whole counsel of God is not being taught, if the people who stand on the platform and lead their lives are not living according to Scripture, I would encourage you to leave. It's not a godly church. Or to work to bring about change, if it's possible, prayerfully. I would first encourage you to pray for the man, that he might be a godly leader. But those are three real questions this morning as Savannah comes. And I want you to consider those this morning. I also would like to say this to those here this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, church authority doesn't really apply. That's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ that you come under the spiritual authority of the church. As you stand to your feet this morning, I want you to consider those three questions. I want you to consider this morning if there's ever been a time in your life where you've trusted in the Lord. And if not, this morning I would encourage you to come forward. Pastor Wayne, myself, would love to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you recognize that maybe you haven't been living your life under the authority of the leadership of this church, there's no better time this morning than to change that, to turn that around. That we would be a unified body that God could use to accomplish His purpose that He has for this church. If you have other needs this morning, the altars are open as Savannah sings, whatever the needs this morning, the Lord's here to minister to you.